Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Yesterday, I was thinking about the very first time that I presided at Holy Communion. It was my ordination day, January 9th, 2021. In the same way that some girls dream about their wedding someday, I had dreamt about my ordination service for years. Part of that service is presiding at Holy Communion for the first time, minutes after you make your ordination vows. I'd been the assisting minister in worship many, many times before, including every single Sunday on my internship. But still, for years, every single time I attended worship, I wondered what it would be like to someday be the presider. What it would be like to say those sacred and holy words. Now, at that point, I'd only been exposed to chanting as part of the communion liturgy. And so I wondered what it would be like to chant those words. And I would sing in the shower, "The Lord be with you." And sometimes, "It is indeed right, our duty and our joy." And you know the acoustics are much better in the shower, but I would practice singing the communion liturgy in the shower. After the call committee here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church had named me their primary candidate, it began to seem real to me that I might actually be ordained and that I indeed would get to be a pastor and preside at the table or represent Christ in worship and at the table. And so I took a book off my shelf, a book that I had purchased several years before, with the hopes of reading it someday. It's called Presiding in the Assembly. I can't remember how many times I read this before my ordination, at least 4 or 5 times. In fact, I don't know if you can see this, but the pages are all marked up. I made so many notes. Presiding at the table was a dream of mine for many, many years, and I so badly wanted to do a faithful and an effective job at presiding at the table. So this book talks about what it means to be a faithful and effective presider at the table and what that looks like, broadly and specifically. So for example, presiding in the assembly is hospitable. That means first that it is the welcoming of strangers. It makes use of structures and forms in a way that communicates both that something important is happening here and that this assembly is not a closed group. It seeks to manifest a spoken language, a body language, and most important, a relational language that welcomes, expands, and includes. So it talks about presiding in worship and at the table broadly and specifically. So this is about the words of institution. As part of the Eucharistic prayer, the words of institution are addressed to both God and the congregation. Nevertheless, any temptation to look at the assembly as if leading an object lesson should be resisted. The tradition of fixing the eyes on the book or on the element being spoken of is helpful in this regard. The presider begins the institution narrative with hands joined. The traditional Western practice is for the presider to hold the bread and wine during the words of institution. At the words that begin referencing the bread, took bread, the presider picks up the loaf or the paten with both hands. The presider holds the bread with both hands at a convenient height far above the altar throughout the words concerning it. After the words, "Do this for the remembrance of me," the presider places the bread or paten on the corporal and pauses before continuing the narrative. So I'm sure it just sounds like a lot of words, but I offer it to really emphasize that what we do in worship has meaning and has deep, deep intentionality. And as it relates to Holy Communion, as we make our way through our summer sermon series, Food for the Journey, every single thing in Holy Communion is done with intention and meaning. Truly nothing, no thing about the table, communion, the liturgy is arbitrary. The words that are said, the order that they happen in the liturgy, the placement of the cup and paten on the linens, where I look with my eyes, the motions that I make with my hands and arms and body, it all has meaning, and it is all very, very intentional. And so with that in mind, we are going to explore the meaning of a particularly powerful moment in the liturgy called the fraction this morning. The fraction is also known as the breaking of bread. So a few Sundays ago, we explored the different names for Holy Communion and how each name or metaphor helps us understand a particular emphasis of the sacrament. The earliest name for this meal is breaking bread. We see this in our New Testament readings for this morning. The early church is described as devoting themselves to the breaking of bread, and it says that they broke bread in their homes with glad and sincere hearts. Now, when we read that in the English, it might be easy just to plug right along, thinking that they were eating and sharing meals together. And they were. However, we know that breaking bread, as it is used in the New Testament, is a way of saying that they shared the Eucharist, or Holy Communion. Every Sunday, every day of the resurrection, in the early church, people gathered in homes to worship. And always as a part of worship, there was a meal. And always in the midst of the meal was Holy Communion, breaking bread. So we get the term breaking bread from Jesus' actions in the Gospels. In the Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples. We get the word breaking bread because there are many, many times in Jesus' ministry that he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it for folks to eat. Think about the feeding of the 5,000. Those four verbs are used over and over again in the Gospels. We also get the term breaking bread from our gospel lesson today. At the house of Mr. and Mrs. Cleopas, Luke tells us that when Jesus was at the table with them, it was only when the bread was broken that Jesus was revealed to them. They recognized him and they immediately returned to Jerusalem to tell the others how Jesus had been made known to them in the breaking of bread. So in our liturgy, after we say the Lord's Prayer at the table, I offer words of invitation. Then the fraction takes place. And I wonder how many of you have actually ever noticed this moment in the liturgy. So the word fraction comes from the Latin word fractio, which means breaking into pieces. So at that point, I lift the bread off of the paten, and I lift it high enough so that everyone can see, and I break the bread into two pieces. And then, if you'll notice, I always put the two pieces back together and place it on the paten again. So this moment of the fraction is meant to help us call to mind all of the breaking of bread that Jesus did in his ministry. It's meant to help call to our mind that Last Supper he had with his disciples when he broke bread with them. When the bread at this point of the service, which for us has become the body of Christ, when the bread is lifted up, we also call to mind that Jesus was lifted up on the cross. And as the bread is held up, the bread which again is the body of Christ, as it is broken, we remember Jesus' broken body on the cross. And then the action of bringing the two pieces back together symbolizes the unity that we have in Christ. It acknowledges that in Christ, we who are many become one. In our other New Testament lesson for today, the Apostle Paul wrote, "There is one bread, and we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread." We who receive communion are united into one in the body of Christ, in the bread that we share. And then, as the bread is being broken and brought back together, we begin to sing, "Lamb of God." Just as John the Baptist declared, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," as Jesus came to him to be baptized, we declare with our song that Jesus is the Lamb of God, and that the very presence of Christ is in the bread and is with us, and that we are beholding the Lamb of God with our very own eyes. Because remember, the bread and the wine are not symbols. Jesus did not say, "This is like my body given for you," or "This is a symbol of my body given for you." Jesus said, "This is my body given for you." And as we receive into our very bodies the body of Christ, we take into our bodies the presence of Christ, which gives us the mercy and the peace that we ask God for as we sing the Lamb of God. As the bread is broken and united together again, we declare that we are beholding the Lamb of God. Sisters and brothers, God does more in this meal than we could ever ask or imagine. In this meal, God comes to us over and over again in the bread and the wine. The very presence of Jesus is with us in this holy and sacred meal that we get to share. Not the meal that we have to share, the meal that we get to share every single Sunday in worship, just as they did in the early church. And so I invite you, beloved children of God, to come. Come this day and every Lord's Day to Christ's table. And when you come, receive the very presence of Christ in the bread and the wine, and let it nourish and strengthen us in faith and for service. May you come with wonder and hopeful expectation for what God will do in you and among us, and among the entire communion of saints in this holy meal. May we, like the early church, be known for being devoted to the breaking of bread. And when Jesus is revealed to us in the breaking of the bread, may we have the boldness and the courage to proclaim with our words and our actions and our lives, "Behold, here is the Lamb of God." Amen.